I've selected the first three verses of John 3 as our gospel lesson for this day. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. For quite some time now, I've been making references in sermons to moving beyond a primarily intellectual exploration of new progressive ways to understand Christian theology and biblical interpretation. And much of that work over the past decade or so has been taking an involved, in-depth look at the research by folks at the Jesus Seminar, by people like John Dominic Crossan, John Shelby Spong, and Marcus Borg. It also included works by others, like the Living the Questions Church School curriculum that we use here at church, and by current authors like Robin Myers, Phyllis Tickle, Brian McLaren, Harvey Cox, and perhaps my favorite book on where progressives perceive that organized religion is heading, Christianity After Religion, The End of the Church and the Birth of a New Spiritual Awakening by Diana Butler Bass. And in the sermon on the Sunday before beginning my sabbatical, I stated, "While not abandoning the intellectual endeavor, it is my intention to get us as College Hill Presbyterian Church to focus a bit more on the spiritual side of our individual and collective journey of faith." Well, that starts in earnest today. For the next 8 Sundays, it is my intention to present a sermon series I've entitled Connecting with God. And for structure, I'll be using a different chapter title each week from the book The Rebirthing of God, Christianity's Struggle for New Beginnings by John Philip Newell. And I encourage you to buy and read this remarkable book. Newell, an ordained Church of Scotland minister, is a former warden of the Iona Abbey in Scotland, a place where I recently spent a week on my sabbatical. He's also led many spiritual retreats during summers at Casa del Sol at Ghost Ranch in New Mexico. And Newell is internationally acclaimed for his work in the field of Celtic spirituality, teaching and preaching on themes related to the sacredness of the earth and the oneness of the human soul. It is my hope that through this sermon series, each of us will have a better understanding of what it means to connect with God, which is simply another way to define the term spiritual formation. Newell proposes that we can move toward that connection not by simply searching for something from without ourselves, but rather by reaching deep within to reconnect with the sacred presence that dwells within all creation. We accomplish that, he suggests, by reconnecting with the earth, which is the subject of this sermon, and reconnecting with compassion, with the light, with the journey, with spiritual practice, with nonviolence, with the unconscious, and reconnecting with love. Now, a rich spiritual life that becomes a vital element to your and my journey of faith might just begin by internalizing a teaching on creation by Julian of Norwich, a 14th century Christian mystic living in England. She radically proclaimed that we are not just made by God, we are made of God. Imagine the implications of what that means. In part, it means that the very love, wisdom, and creativity of God are embedded deep within the heart of our being. And this morning's gospel reading includes that familiar passage from John 3 where Jesus states that recognizing and participating in the kingdom of God requires that we be born anew, or more commonly rendered, born again. And in order to avoid that often abused phrase, most progressives prefer the NRSV translation, born from above. But Newell reminds us, this phrase has been hijacked by religious fundamentalism, and I would add to an extent by traditional Christianity itself, to give the impression that we need to become something other than ourselves. It implies that we need to turn from what is deepest within us, including a denial of our human nature, because they believe that at our very core, we are utterly sinful. As theologians and everyday people in the pews are reevaluating this claim of total depravity, more and more people are rejecting this assumption, and many have decided to leave organized religion altogether. That is why I want us to explore a very different approach and understanding to our human nature, which we must remember is from God. Perhaps that which is deepest within each human life isn't sinfulness, but rather the sacred presence of God. It's stated this way in today's affirmation of faith. It's found in the Iona Abbey Worship Book. With people everywhere, we affirm God's goodness at the heart of humanity, planted more deeply than all that is wrong. This reemergence of the divine from deep within us is something that we cannot create on our own, but is rather something that by God's grace we let spring forth and be reborn anew in our lives. How do you like that for a twist on that old phrase, to be born again? This approach also helps explain the rather strange title of Newell's book, The Rebirthing of God. As he writes in his introduction, we can be part of midwifing new holy births in the world. And perhaps the first step, one of the primary features of rebirthing, is a coming back into relationship with the sacredness of the earth. Eco-theologian Thomas Berry writes, we need to move from a spirituality of alienation from the world to a spirituality of intimacy with the natural world. And as you may have heard in the news just this past week, this is a similar position taken by Pope Francis upon the release of his new encyclical entitled On Care for Our Common Home. I read a good portion of it yesterday online, and it's wonderful. From a section called The Sacramental Signs and the Celebration of Rest, the Pope writes from a deeply moral and ethical perspective. Quote, the universe unfolds in God, who fills it completely. Hence, there is a mystical meaning to be found in a leaf, in a mountain trail, in a dewdrop, in a poor person's face. The ideal is not only to pass from the exterior to the interior, to discover the action of God in the soul, but also to discover God in all things. I like this Pope. Indeed, one of the things we learned in our adult church school class just over a year ago when we studied the Living the Questions curriculum, Painting the Stars, Science, Religion, and an Evolving Faith, is that everything in the universe is actually related to everything else in the universe. That means that the earth's well-being is an essential part of our well-being. The creation story, found in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, today's Old Testament reading, clearly declares that all of creation is very good, and that we have been made in the image and the likeness of God. That's why Julian of Norwich reminds us that we are made of God, not just by God. So with all of creation made from that same source, that same light, it's understandable that deep within there is a desire to move back into relationship with everything else that is of God. Reconnecting with the sacredness of the earth, therefore, is a good first step in a deeper understanding of connecting with God. And I experienced that spiritual connection with the earth during my sabbatical, especially both at Bridget's Garden and at Glendalough in Ireland, and during my pilgrimage around the island of Iona, Scotland. And I'm serious when I tell you that I also experienced that spiritual connection with sacredness at Angel Acres. That, by the way, is the name of the place of the property and home where I live, north of town. Newell puts it poetically this way. We must remind ourselves that we are living in the cathedral of earth, sea, and sky. Perhaps that helps explain my own spiritual connection with the study of geology. And perhaps you too somehow recognize a sacred presence when looking at or touching the structure, substance, and processes of the earth itself. Like so many people, perhaps you are one of those who find a deep sense of peace in God's presence, as well as a sense of excitement and adventure when out in nature, simply for a drive in the country. The earth instinctively knows what it means to move in relationship with the universe, for it has been doing so for 4.5 billion years. And this is where Newell diverges from traditional Christian thought. He states, "We are not an exception to the cosmos. We are not an addendum. Humanity has emerged from within the matter of the cosmos. We express the nature of the universe. What is deepest in us, our longing for relationship, reveals a yearning that is within all things." And he continues, "Yes, we may be a unique expression of that longing, just as everything else uniquely reveals some aspect of reality. But what we manifest is a yearning that emerges from the very heart of creation." We find in the Gospel of John an understanding that Jesus himself is the memory of what we have forgotten. That everything moves in relationship. Newell explains, Jesus comes to lead us not into a detachment from the earth or a separation from other peoples of the world and other species, but into a dance that will bring us back into relationship with all things. Recognizing the sacredness in other people and in the earth itself, therefore, has profound implications in how we see and treat other people, and for how we relate to the resources and the creatures of the earth. And our first step is to recognize the sacredness of all creation. And perhaps the next step is then to have the courage to protect that sacredness. The spirituality embedded in the religious life of indigenous people throughout all times and places have a much better understanding of this than in what we call Western Christianity. So if we truly desire to connect with God, we need to be born anew in a way that leads us to reconnect with the earth. I encourage you to look for ways to do that this week.